I have a little secret to share with you. I'm not afraid of spiders. I'm not afraid of heights. But I have a slight fear of public speaking. Now, given that, why would I come up here and volunteer, because I did volunteer, to share God's word with you today? And there are two reasons for that. First, I feel called by God to share with you some of the things that he has taught me over the years. And second, I love helping people. It's my favorite part of my job. And so if you get something out of this message that helps you in your spiritual walk, it will be my joy and my pleasure. So with that, it is an honor and a privilege to bring you today God's word. We're in the midst of a sermon series called The Good and Beautiful Life. It is based on a book by the same name by James Bryan Smith. Today's topic comes from chapter 11 of that book, drawing a good amount of the material for this message from that chapter. So if you have a chance, I encourage you to read it. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, I pray now that your Holy Spirit would descend upon us and that the wisdom and authority of Jesus himself would be heard and felt as his very words are read and considered today. Speak to us, I pray, and may your message penetrate our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Suppose you have a friend who claims to be a Christian but doesn't live like one. He treats his girlfriend badly. He neglects her, is mean to her. He does what he wants, but seldom does what she wants. Now, they're getting serious, and he told you recently that he plans to ask her to marry him this summer. So you thought about it, prayed about it, and you decided to confront this friend. You have made a list of the things that he's doing that you believe are non-Christian, and so you go to his house, meet with him in private, and you seek to approach him with gentleness, and yet you feel a little bit of anger in your heart. So you share this with him, and he gets defensive, he lashes back at you, and he even mentions some unchristian things that you yourself have been doing. So it doesn't go well, and you say to yourself, okay, he's not open to correction, he's not teachable. So you walk away and you say to yourself, well, at least I tried. Now, this is not just a mental exercise. We've all faced similar situations, and we'll do so in the future. So, two questions that I want us to consider here. One, what went wrong? And the second one, is there a better way? Now, in our passage, Jesus answers both questions. We're looking today at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. And in the first half, he answers the first question by giving us reasons not to judge others. And in the second half, verses 7 through 12, he shows us the right way to help someone. So let's look at scripture now. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Do not judge. Okay, let's stop there. Jesus is not speaking against all judgments, because elsewhere in scripture, Jesus himself says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgments. This comes from the book of John, chapter 7, verse 24. So there's a difference between judging and assessing someone's behavior. In assessing, for example, parents need to assess the behavior of their children so they can guide that behavior. Managers, likewise, need to be able to assess a candidate for a job in an interview process. So it's not that all judgment is bad. There's a very specific kind that is bad, and that's this one. That when we judge, we criticize others, but not as a caring friend. Instead, We tell them what we want to say to them, and then we walk away. You can think of it this way. We drop them a bomb and leave them to pick up the pieces. I think the key difference between judging and assessing is our heart. And even though judging is in our heart, it comes out. We can see that in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45, which reads like this. A good person produces good from the good treasure of his heart, and an evil person produces evil from an evil treasure, because the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. And so, the truth that is in our hearts, if we have judgment, will come out. Maybe you'll be careful with your words, but there's body language, you make a facial expression, your attitude. If you have an ongoing relationship with a person, they will know what the truth is eventually. In summary for this section, correcting others can be life-enhancing, but judging others never is. So let's continue with Matthew, with the scripture for today. And here we're going to look now at the first section, verses 1 through 6. And these are addressing the first question that I asked. And here we can see reasons not to judge others. So verses 1 and 2 read like this. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, do not judge, or you too will be judged. By whom? By God? God is not mentioned here. No, I say that the judge that you get in return will be by those being judged, because they lash back. If you remember in the illustration, that's exactly what happened. The person pointed out the unchristian things that you yourself had done. So judgment provokes retaliation. Let's continue with scripture. Verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So there's a speck in your neighbor's eye and a log in your own eye. Now, what is this log or plank? Is the log our sin? If so, the solution would be to get rid of our sin, but this side of heaven, we cannot do that. So the log is the act of judging itself. It makes it impossible to help others. And it blinds us from seeing a better way. Okay, let's continue with scripture. Verse 6. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Pigs and pearls. Is this a change of topic? I would say no. Pearls are indigestible. Your body cannot process them to nourish you. So even if your judgment is precious, let's say that what you're saying is absolutely true or very precise in what the person is doing, if given in a sense of judgment, it will not be accepted by the person, will not be absorbed, it will not make a difference. So in that way, it does not nourish and it's indigestible. So now that we have looked at reasons not to judge, let's continue in scripture and looking at the right way to help someone. And Jesus gives us the better way. So beginning at verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So here we have ask. And I would say ask two people. First, ask God. And we do that in prayer. So we pray for those who need the help first and foremost. And by doing so, we invite God into this situation. We feel more compassion and less criticism. And God gives us guidance and wisdom. The second person we ask is the person who needs help, because they know the situation best. They've been living with it. And I would warn you that if you speak to that person without first asking, you are speaking out of ignorance, and it's very dangerous. Okay, in verse 7, it also talks about seeking and knocking. And what I believe this means is to persist, to persevere. Because most struggles don't go away overnight. Change comes slowly. So persist in prayer, persist in being by your friend's side. And while we're asking God, I'm going to say this. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to seek God with all your heart and to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because we're talking here just about judgment, but our relationship with God affects every aspect of life, your whole life, and even has eternal implications. Our last verse here from Matthew chapter 7 is verse 12. And it says this: So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. This is known as the golden rule. And it's a good general principle, and it has specific application here. Imagine being on the receiving end of the help that you want to give. And by doing so, we will see that we don't want to be judged. Instead, we want someone who prays for us, who asks what's going on, and who persists in prayer and in the friendship. So here's an illustration of the consequences of judging. Envision each relationship we have as two fish in a small fishbowl. Now, judging pollutes the relationship for both of you, just as ink pollutes a fishbowl. On the flip side, compassion and understanding nourish the relationship. Imagine oxygen bubbling through the water in the fishbowl and how that helps for the life within that environment. So just a small illustration, but I hope it's helpful. Now let's apply today's lesson into our lives. And I have to say that I need this application myself because I still struggle with judging. So here's my suggestion. In the coming week, as you encounter situations that tempt you to judge, first and foremost, pray. As much as needed to change your own heart. And let's look right now at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, because from it flow the springs of life. And by heart here, it means not just your feelings, but also your mind. Back then, heart really meant the essence of your inner being. So this is the first and foremost, and I suggest that you pray for this wholeheartedly. In the coming week also, ask of each thought and attitude that comes by you when you're tempted to judge. Is this ink in the fishbowl? Or is it oxygen in the fishbowl? That is it polluting the relationship? Or has it the potential of polluting the relationship? Or does it have the potential of nourishing it? Another thing to ask is to lovingly ask the person about the situation and how you can support them. And then follow up with that person repeatedly, patiently, lovingly. Now, I want to share something personal. In my own experience, the biggest relational damage that I have caused has had at its root judgment in my heart. On the flip side, The people in my life who have been the nastiest to me have judged me. So as Jesus taught, I urge you, your good and for the good of those around you, do not judge. Judging others is counterproductive. Instead, let's pray, ask, and stand in support of loved ones. Let's remember the ink and the oxygen, and then let's nourish our relationships. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and Almighty God, we ask right now for your Holy Spirit to help us in remembering and applying the teaching that you have given us today. We need you, Lord. We cannot do this without you. So help to keep that in mind. Help us to have the self-awareness to recognize when we are judging in our hearts so that we can stop it and instead turn it into something nourishing. We pray this for our good, for the good of those around us, and for your honor and glory. Amen. Now, as part of this series, we have what's called soul training, which is essentially homework on a weekly basis. And the soul training for this week is a day without gossip. Now, let's be clear on what gossip is. It has two elements, and both have to be there for it to be gossip. You have to speak negatively about someone who is not there to hear what you're saying. So, in the coming week, I'm asking you to find a 24-hour period where you wholeheartedly seek not to gossip. Now, this is a good thing to do all the time, but we all fail, so I just ask you to commit yourself to that 24-hour period, and then ask God to give you strength to continue that for as long as possible.